that case, everybody who comes in wants to sit right at the back. Maybe we should, those who are already kept meeting, but I think it would be a balance if we have people that are sitting nearer to us, so that we are able to communicate. By the way, everything is televised, isn't it? So if you sit right at the back, you look like strangers. Yeah. Thank you very much. The meeting is open, and welcome to everybody in the house. This is our meeting of the 28th, is it, today? Yeah. Maybe just to make a few comments. This is our first meeting of the year. And allow me to say compliment of the season. And I wish you all the best of the year. How does that sound? Because you have been in Parliament, so, but that's my wish. Because I know we have a lot of work ahead of us. I would like to start by talking about the obvious. This year is an election year, and we have already dissolved the fifth Parliament in preparation for the election. I would like us to take stock of our term as women parliamentarians during the fifth parliamentary term. This is to ensure that we construct clear recommendations to head over to the sixth parliamentarian. That is why today we will be looking at the legacy report. We, as this multi-party women's caucus, we had our share of challenges and successes. But I believe that our experiences will empower the six parliamentarians to take baton and run with it. I would like us to contribute to the draft legacy report that is before us. We have a report that we are going to be presenting here. One of the projects that we have been working constantly on is the issue of gender-based violence. Last year, as the multi-party, we attended the gender-based violence and femicide summit hosted by the president of the country. That was in Pretoria. Out of that summit, there were declarations and resolutions adopted. We as a steering committee felt that not all members, and this bothered us much, the members of the multi-party were able to attend the summit. So we felt it befitting to inform members about those resolutions. This is to enable the members to take these resolutions back to their respective constituents. It is a fact that some of us will not come back, but also some of us will come and be part of the sixth parliamentary term. Our wish is that those who are coming back need to further encourage the sixth parliamentary women caucus to advance the initiatives and projects that we started as the multi-party women's caucus. One of those initiatives is the strengthening of the national gender machinery. I know the department has launched it in Pretoria some time back as a form of encouragement for those women who will be part of the sixth parliament. We decided to have a short information sharing session about what national gender machinery is And I think we are going to be doing it here so that people can be able to discuss whether they see the National Gender Machinery useful and maybe give us advices. And lastly, this is our last session as the Multi-Party Women Caucus. And as the parliament will be rising soon, I would like to encourage all women parliamentarians to go out there and make a positive impact on women. Whether you come back or not is immaterial. Keep on fighting for empowerment of women wherever you are. With those few words, I was welcoming and bidding you farewell. Then let us get off.
We have a number of apologies. The first apology is for Honorable Mothapo, who has apologized due to ill health. The second one is Honorable Minister Pando, who is not able to attend as a result of a long-standing meeting. The third one, we have an apology for Honorable Honorable Shabangu, who is not able to attend due to a consultative meeting on the UN Commission on the Status of Women. Honorable Bilani Machake, who's unable to attend due to an official engagement meeting in Pretoria. Honorable Deputy Minister Sogyu, who's unable to attend due to ill health. Honorable Minister Chwete, who's unable to attend, there's no reason given. The next one is Honorable, the same Honorable Chwete. In this one, there is a reason given. She's attending an event in the Eastern Cape House of Traditional Leaders in East London. The next one is Honorable Bam Mokwanya, who is not able to attend due to an appointment with her doctor. The next one is Honorable Professor Mkize, who is attending a meeting of the PC on Communications for shortlisting of the SABC board. The next one is Honorable Deputy Minister Gorda Fredericks, who is unable to attend. There's no reason given. The next one is Honorable, it's a male member. I think they sent it to us by mistake. The next one is Honorable Kuno. She's unable to attend because she's attending the Southern Africa Development Community Organization of Public Accounts, which is taking place in Johannesburg. The next one is Honorable Didiza. She will be out of the province attending a meeting. The next one is Honorable Deputy Minister Bokopane Zulu, who is on sick leave. The next one is Honorable Brownwin Engelbrecht, attending the DA caucus. That is all, Chair.
Those are the apologies. Does anyone want to say something? Yes, I met from our wounded actually, somebody at the back.
Myself.
Oh. Honorable. Yeah. Okay, you are recognized.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. My name is Reliwe Matlopa. I want to tender my apology. I've spoken to the Chair. The Parliament has released me because of the commitment in the province, but I said I will come because my flight is at 1. I will leave at 11:30. Thanks. It's part of the apology.
Chair, thank you very much. I wanted Brian to read the apology of the male member because he apologized on the basis that he wanted to listen to our deliberations. And we're not discriminating any male member because he is also a he and he's part of our committee. And in our committee we have Member Dex, who's also the committee member in the committee. So you can't discriminate our male members. We don't discriminate in this committee.
Thank you, Chair. I had presumed that the male member submitted perhaps because he thought it's the general caucus, because it's the Deputy Minister Putumanamela. That is the apology.
What's this confusion that today it's the ANC caucus taking place? It could be, but I don't think it's a problem. Now that we know who it is, it was. I wanted to say, I didn't hear you announcing the apology of the minister, Batabile Dlamini. I never heard any, because she apologized, the department apologized. We were supposed to have an item on the agenda, and she has an event in Mpumala. She couldn't come. Did you read anything?
My apologies. I had omitted that one, not on the basis that.
Okay, all right. Those are the apologies, and I really welcome the apologies because you can see it's a lot of executive members who are interested in this caucus, and they are concerned. They are not able to come here. That I think that is a very good gesture. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Let's go to item 3 now. It says consideration of. I hope you have got the agenda in front of you. Now we'll have Tembakazi Pampela, who's going to take us through our legacy report, and. After that, we can have questions of clarity and discussion. Over to you, Pampela.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. I will be speaking to the legacy report. I'm not going to read the document page by page, but I'm going to speak to the contents of that document. Let me start by saying, at the beginning of the 5th parliamentary term, when the Multi-Party Women's Caucus was established, it decided to conduct a business strategic workshop. The aim of that workshop was to identify key focus areas to guide the work of the Multi-Party Women's Caucus. The vision that was adopted during that strategic planning workshop was to ensure the emancipation and liberation of all women in the country by actively influencing, advocating, and lobbying while uniting all women across racial and party political lines. The identified focus areas during that strategic planning session were the issue of promotion of 50-50 representation, the issue of gender-based violence and discrimination, advocating for socioeconomic empowerment of women, lobbying for legislative reform.
Sizawuyala into bakungena utata nje akhombo mama baphume bahambe.
Okay. Lobbying for legislative reform, the issue of reintroduction of gender responsive budgeting, the strengthening of the national gender missionary, the establishment of relations with critical stakeholders, which include civil society organization and all women commissions. These are all the identified focus areas that we identified during the strategic planning session of the Multi-Party Women's Caucus. In addition to the adoption of the business plan as a guide, this Multi-Party Women's Caucus has been mandated by various women's parliament sessions to ensure implementation of resolutions undertaken. This Multi-Party Women's Caucus also launched as a Commonwealth Women Parliamentarian Chapter, and there were also activities that were agreed upon during the launch, but those activities are also broadly related to the same issues that were adopted during the business planning session. This Multi-Party Women's Caucus did not have an oversight function over the executive, but it achieved its mandate by actively lobbying, advocating, persuading, and influencing. There was also an agreement by this Multi-Party Women's Caucus to move away from being an event-based structure that was only visible during Women's Month to being a social activism-based structure visible throughout the year. Also, at the start of the parliamentary term, the Multi-Party Women's Caucus did not have a dedicated time slot to conduct its activities. It was only towards the end of 2017 that the programming committee agreed to allocate one Thursday per month for the activities of the Multi-Party Women's Caucus like today. Honourable members, let me then speak to the projects that were undertaken by this Multi-Party Women's Caucus. I would like to start with an issue that falls under the socioeconomic empowerment of women, the issue of sanitary dignity. The issue of sanitary dignity is twofold. The first one is the issue of taxation of sanitary products, and the second one is the issue of provision of free sanitary products to indigent women and girls. This Multi-Party Women's Caucus held a series of engagements with the National Treasury on these issues. And it was after these engagements that a task team chaired by the Ministry of Women was formed to look into the issue of sanitary dignity. The Multi-Party also collaborated with various civil society organizations in lobbying for removal of VAT from the sanitary products. The members of the Multi-Party Women's Caucus also advocated their constituencies to make submissions when the panel established by the National Treasury to review the list of zero-rated items. The call was for constituencies to make submissions that sanitary products should be zero-rated. And during the mini-budget in 2018, there was an announcement that VAT will be removed from sanitary products with effect from 5th April 2019. On the second issue that pertains to the sanitary duty is the issue of provision of free sanitary products to indigent women and girls. That is one issue that is still pertaining, but the Ministry of Women is currently working towards ensuring a uniform and coordinated sanitary dignity program. Let me come to the issue of gender-based violence. The Multi-Party Women's Caucus also had a number of engagements with the Department of Social Development and Civil Society Organization on issues related to GBV. The Multi-Party was even addressed by the South African Police Services on issues related to human trafficking. Members of the Multi-Party Women's Caucus also attended the GBV and Femicide Summit hosted by the President. Hence, today we have an agenda item related to that. Let me come to the issue of promotion of 50-50 representation. Before the 2016 local government elections, the Multi-Party Women's Caucus had engagements with the SALGA Women's Commission about increasing the number of women represented and in the local government. The representation of women in local government has increased from 38% in 2011 to 41% following the August 2016 municipal elections. The engagement with the SALGA Women's Commission was twofold. The first was about increasing the number of women in local government, but the second part was also encouraging the establishment of women's caucuses in municipal councils. Also on the issue of the promotion of 50-50 representation, this Multi-Party Women's Caucus also co-launched the United He for She program here in Parliament. That was also in an attempt to advocate the political parties represented here in Parliament to be champions for gender equality towards promotion of 50-50 representation. This Multi-Party also realized that although there are some discretional legislative provisions for local government elections, but there is none for national and provincial elections, so it decided to engage with the IEC. The engagements with the IEC were about reviewing the Electoral Act to provide for mandatory gender quotas during the submission of party lists. By engaging the IEC, this Multi-Party Women's Caucus was hoping to have new legislation in place for the upcoming election, but that was not achieved, so it's not possible for the May 2019 election. Let me come to another project which pertains to legislative reform. On that issue, I'd like to talk to the issue that came out of the 2015 and 2016 women's parliamentary session, the issue of sex work. The delegates of the 2015 and 2016 Women's Parliamentary Session mandated this Multi-Party Women's Caucus to advocate for decriminalization of sex work. In pursuing this mandate, the Multi-Party Women's Caucus had to engage the South African Law Reform Commission about releasing their report, which they termed adult prostitution, that they had been working on since 2002. After a series of engagements, this report was ultimately released in May 2017, and it contained several recommendations, including legislative reform proposals. When this report was released to the public domain, a number of organizations working within the sex work voiced their unhappiness about the recommendations contained in the South African law reform, which were not in favor of decriminalization of sex work. This then prompted the Multi-Party Women's Caucus to host a summit here in Parliament to gauge the responses of various stakeholders on the recommendations of the law reform. While processing the outcome of the summit, the Multi-Party Women's Caucus further decided that one session was not enough and there was a need to host various engagement sessions in all provinces in order to get diverse view on the issue of sex work. Unfortunately, this has not happened as yet. Let me come to the issue of establishment of Multi-Party Women's Caucus in provincial legislatures and municipal councils. It has been a desire of this multi-board women's caucus to encourage all legislatures and municipal councils to establish women's caucuses. This was based on the belief that the establishment of these women's structures are instrumental in ensuring gender sensitivity in the work of legislatures and municipal councils. The multi-party women's caucus here in Parliament hosted a number of workshops for provincial multi-party women's caucus in order to learn and share best practices. This multi-party women's caucus also hosted various women's caucuses from inside and outside the country. Two members of the multi-party women's caucus also attended an inaugural International Congress of Women Parliamentarians in Ireland, where there was a reinforcement for establishment and resourcing of parliamentary women's caucuses. In conclusion, Chair, I would like to also mention that this multi-women's caucus has managed to establish relations with a number of civil society organizations and various women's formations, and this has greatly assisted the multi-party women's caucus in its lobbying and advocacy initiatives. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Pamela. That is the legacy report. I don't know whether we have left out something. If there's anything that we have left out, you can remind us. If there is any question of clarity, let us begin there. Are there any questions of clarity or questions? Oh, Honorable Petition.
Thank you, Chair. There are two things that I think are left out. The SADC reports, where you attend meetings of SADC, and the report does not outline all the issues that you normally report about in our meetings. And then the second thing is the issues that were raised with the speaker. That was our first meeting. We went to the speaker raising issues that affect women around Parliament. And those issues were never responded to by the speaker. So I think the next, the sixth parliament must be able to follow up those issues when they come in. Thank you very much.
No, thanks, Chair. The last one is on the Thursdays, because if we don't document it, it might get lost in the next parliament. That we have managed to secure Thursday of the month, of the end of the month, to be a women's caucus, because you remember that we have never had this time ourselves. It should go into the legacy report so that we don't lose it in the next parliament. Thanks.
I just need clarity from the Chair of the House. I think we played a role in the International Women's Conference that we had, that was hosted by South African Parliament. What role did we play, if you remember? Have you got it there?
Yes, it's yes. The Multi-Party Women's Caucus co-hosted the International Women's Conference. It's here in the legacy report. It was on the 29 to 30 August 2017, and there were declarations. It was adopted by the Multi-Party. It's on page 21 of the legacy report.
I'm sorry, Chair, I wanted to put you on the spot.
I'm sorry, just if it has said we can pass, but I thought it would be important that we this multi-party caucus was launched a Commonwealth branch under your leadership, and so I thought it should be included in the report. Yes, Chair, and we should then define the work of the branch of the Commonwealth, because we just launched it, we don't even have a program, we are not functioning as a branch. Thanks.
Some of the things, how the steering committee functions, articulating some of the issues, because we've got the deputy that never was able to attend from her illness. It was a challenge, yeah.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I just wanted to check. I've heard in the report that the multi-caucus programs has been established in the provinces. I just wanted to check, have all the provinces done that in the municipalities? I know in Eastern Cape, in the provincial women's caucus was going around launching in the district municipalities. But I am not sure in the local municipalities also, there are local municipalities that, but I'm not sure the impact that the multi-party caucus up to a local level, how much is the impact? How much is the multi-party caucus work known or seen on a local municipality, in a provincial municipality, as much as in the district? I'm saying this, Chairperson, because we still have districts and local municipalities that are run only in the majority, 80% of them, it's men. So the 50-50 issue is something that is not taken into consideration. Thank you, Chair.
I think in our report we did mention something about the municipalities, and I think we invited Salga twice, I think, in Parliament, and they also indicated that they are still trying to cover that. But it seems, you know, we haven't succeeded. Maybe in our report we should say those are some of the priority areas that the sixth parliament should focus on. Thank you. Okay, now we have come to Nopal.
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to assist the people that are doing the legacy report into saying the discussion that has just taken place here now is actually trying to assist the people so that when you conclude this report, you are able to lift up issues that are going to be easy for the incoming sixth parliament to actually take this legacy report and see the work that has been done by this committee and be able to see things that are outstanding that they can carry them on. So when you finish the report, just lift up those issues at the end so that it becomes easy, because my story might not be here and some people might not be here, but it's going to be easy for whoever comes in to take this report and see where the work that needs to still to be done. That's all I'm saying.
No, I just wanted to indicate to Bruno Ballot, I mean the process of rejuvenation.
Okay, thank you very much. I think we should adopt the report before, yes. And with all the recommendations, yeah, will be taken care of. Yes. Can we adopt now? Okay, Honorable Chairperson.
Chair, I move for the adoption of the report. Honorable Maff.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I support the move to support the report.
On the agenda here, we have a very sensitive, I thought there's something you talk about. And item 4 on our agenda is a feedback on the summit on gender-based violence. You remember actually that gender-based violence summit came about after the shutdown. That was done by women, South African women, in Pretoria. So I think we need really to have a feedback on that so that people can raise concerns and discuss it and then have a way forward, because it was summit, yes, it was well attended. A lot of things happened there, those were there. And, yeah, can we have that? Are you going to come this way?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honourable members. So I'm going to, in the absence of the presidency, just talk about the declaration and some of the resolutions taken as a result of the presidential summit on gender-based violence and femicide. So some of our members attended the summit, which was held on the 1st to 2nd November 2018. And the purpose of the summit was to look at strengthening the response to gender-based violence at the highest level. So the summit was an opportunity to critically reflect on existing interventions to address GBV and to look at what new directions we need to take in developing coordinated responses to the problem, including looking at the prevention of violence. And the idea behind the summit was that it would be the action coming out of the summit would be taken forward by the Office of the President and championed by him. The summit brought together 1,200 delegates, and the work of the summit was divided into six areas of work. And these six areas were looked at: prevention, how to prevent gender-based violence; laws and policies, how to strengthen and address the challenges in our laws and policies. Thirdly, to look at coordination, how do we improve upon our coordinated response. Fourth, to look at the response and support, to look at improving upon our responses. Fifth, to look at accountability and resourcing, so looking there at the budgets and the resources put into gender-based violence and how we hold people to account when they don't perform. And then lastly, looking at communication. How do we improve our communication strategies for communicating on the issue, including media strategies? The summit declaration was divided, in fact, I've divided them into categories, thematic categories, to just make it easier to deal with. And the first looks at the structure. The recommendation was that after the summit, there would be a setting up of an interim structure to look at taking the work of the summit forward, and that within 6 months of the summit that interim structure would be replaced by a National Council on Gender-Based Violence. The declaration included the fact that the council should ideally be comprised of 51% members from civil society. We know that an interim council has been appointed. We are now 3 months after the summit, and so we have 3 months more to appoint the permanent structure. Then there were some resolutions around plans, laws and policies. I think the most important one was that a national strategic plan on gender-based violence and femicide must be developed within 6 months of the summit. Secondly, that we would look at all laws, policies, programs and interventions to ensure that they are adequate, that they are costed, and that they are properly resourced. So looking at putting those plans within the context of gender responsive planning, budgeting, monitoring and evaluation frameworks. Then we would look at how to strengthen our research and information support so that we develop laws and policies that are evidence-based. We would also fast-track the review of existing laws and policies on gender-based violence so that they are victim-centered. We would implement the decisions that have been identified from reviews and address legislative gaps. And I think here specifically what delegates had in mind was the high-level panel recommendations. And then we would revisit and fast-track all the outstanding laws and bills that relate to gender-based violence and femicide, including the decriminalization of sex work. There was a resolution around economic development which said that we must promote women-centered economic development because if women are economically empowered, it helps them break the cycle of violence. And then around service provision, there was a resolution that the Tutuzela care centers, the sexual offenses courts, and the shelters that respond to the needs of gender-based violence victims must be adequately resourced. And that we must ensure that our services, the way which services are provided, are optimized by ensuring that there's ongoing training, capacity building, and specialization. There was also a resolution around the National Gender Machinery, which we have as an item on the agenda, and the suggestion was that we need to retain, resource, and strengthen the National Gender Machinery. Then there were a few points around society at large, and I'll just very briefly mention some of them. The one was that political and community leadership must support and champion gender-based violence, that we must look at targeted social behavior change programs, we must evaluate our education interventions, we must conduct a meeting of all communicators on gender-based violence to adopt ethical guidelines, and we must look at creating a regulatory framework for religious institutions to curb sexual abuses and crimes that happen with a direct link to religion. So, honourable members, those were the action items that came out of the summit. I think that we saw after the budget speech that some of the feedback from some of the people who attended was that they couldn't, they raised concern that they couldn't see in the budget speech and in the budget how some of the resolutions would be resourced. So that is still a question that needs to be engaged with. And this is where we are 3 months after the summit. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you, Joy. Some of the issues were picked up in the, was it the budget or the Tutuzela care centers and all the other things. But I think let us hear from the members first. What do they think about that summit? And maybe what can they recommend? Because I think we are still going to have some of these things going on. And now that we are, some of the issues are not there, especially the responsive budget and all the other things, the issues of the issues of sex workers, I think we've got a lot to talk about. Can we have those people who can? Yeah. Honorable Sminya.
No, Chair. The important thing that was raised on the as part of the resolution, the issue of strengthening the gender machinery, which for me is a key for the progress of even the implementation of other resolutions, because if you look at now, because we don't have a strong gender machinery, there is no women's movement in general, now we are guessing whether the budget, because the budget is accommodating, or the budget as presented by the minister would actually address those issues that we have raised in the summit. I think what is key that we can recommend is that unfortunately it was going to be good if the presidency was here to take us through what they have done, and my recommendation would be that the sixth parliament should actually take the issue of strengthening gender machinery as a key for us to be able to engender programs of government to monitor the implementation of those decisions that have been taken. For now, we're looking at one section of government to implement or to do everything, which cannot work like that. We need the gender machinery working in totality for us to be able to see and monitor the progress. Because now we are just even guessing whether the budget has not accommodated issues that have been raised in the summit. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, can we have Honorable Mafu? And then after Honorable Mafu, we have Honorable Coleman and Honorable Geledi. Yes. Okay, can you start?
Thank you, Chair. This is a very... You are disturbing me, please. This is a very important report and a very important discussion. But unfortunately, Chair, as Honorable Semenya says, we are unable to get a progress report because neither the presidency is here to actually give us progress on how far now they are on some of the recommendations that are being reported on here. And the fact that, for instance, on the interim structure that was put there, and the fact that within 6 months there's supposed to be a national council, which in fact the 6 months would expire in May when all of us are not here. So we are unable to get, but I do want to then second Honorable Semenya when she says the sixth parliament, immediately when they come in, this structure must actually then get a progress report on this issue and be able to make an assessment and progress that has been made and be able to make recommendations that would talk to the strengthening of the gender machinery and how in future we are able to do our oversight on these issues. I think it can only be done by the sixth parliament right now. We can't be able to progress on it. But it's a very urgent matter, which then when that parliament comes in, it's one of its urgent issues that need to look at it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And let's thank for the presentation. Yes. We really appreciate this type of presentation, especially, reporting back. I would unfortunately also like to align myself to my comrades and colleagues on the importance of reporting back, especially on the work that has been done previously. If we were to take stock of what really took, what we did ever since we started in 1994, and how much money we've spent on committees, on task teams, on for every problem that we have, we try to resolve that problem with a new structure. To me, the issue of establishing, whether it's interim, whether it's permanent structures, outside the actual institutions of government, to me is not going to work, because somebody else will come into office, go out, come in, establish committees outside the institutional framework of governance. And the other one will come in and undo that and start another one again. We're spending money. We still have the same issues with the same Lentokanji. But then what I'm trying to raise here is that perhaps we need to do what Comrade Rosina was talking about earlier on. Because if we don't do that, we risk repeating the very same mistakes that we had. I have no doubt that the very same interim committee will come back with the same results that we had during the 90s. And the solutions would be the same. The only difference would be the approach on how you resolve those problems. I think it's high time that our government, especially the presidency, would then approach the response to these issues in an institutional a way. So that you do not therefore expect other people elsewhere, because you're spending a lot of money on these committees. That money should be going direct into programs. It goes to these committees. And at the end of the day, if you look at the progress made and the impact made by those committees and commissions and whatever, you find that really it's not much, but the money has been spent. So instead of using that money, rather pay the people that are employed by government over time to do that extra work, but then establish structures in each sphere of government so that there's accountability. Those people are held accountable by public representatives at those levels. And I feel if that is done, like we used to have the gender desk, in the premier's offices, in the mayor's offices. I don't know whether they're still in existence and they're still impactful as they used to be. So I think we need to change the way we're doing things. I'm not saying what has been agreed here is wrong. It is correct, and some of us listened. We watched it on TV. It was very emotional. It really impacted on the lives of especially those that were affected by this gender-based violence. But I'm just saying the mechanism that we use to respond to some of these issues, because it's the responsibility of government, not any other person, but not a structure somewhere, because you, even though we have a right to call that structure, it wouldn't be the same if we were to call the minister to account or to call a premier or a mayor or whoever to come and account. Thank you, Chair. Sorry for being this long.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start by apologizing for arriving late and having missed the genesis of the report. I think members have covered a whole lot of the important areas. I would like to make a follow-up on the input or comments by members Minya regarding the absence of a women's movement. One is tempted to check if we do have a working relationship with the progressive women's movement of South Africa. Do we maybe have a relationship regarding the issues of women? Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Honorable Chair. I think my colleague have covered me. She's first.
Oh. Okay, thanks. Thanks, Chair. No, Chair, I think we need to really welcome the presentation as a true reflection of what happened. And I think we also, I agree with the comrades that have spoken before me that we need to treat it with the urgency that it deserves. Because one thing about it, it became a national program, so to speak. So I think we, since we are at the end of the term, I want to second the proposal that says let us make use of the structures. The women's caucuses in the provinces are very strong, and they will be able to carry out some of the programs. But firstly, we need to call upon the presidency to programatize the issues that were raised there, so that we are able to identify hotspots. If, for example, there's a lot of gender-based violence in a particular place, then the program goes there and so forth. But the office of the presidency needs to come up with a program. So I think in the beginning of the next term, we need, as the Women's Caucus, to call the relevant offices so that we get the response before we even get to the council, so that when we go there, we go to process the programs that are supposed to be implemented in the various provinces according to their relevance to those provinces.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. No, we welcome the report. I think really it's rich in a sense.
Sorry, Madam. Who was supposed to speak now? Madam? Oh, okay.
I'm sorry about that, but I'm sure Meshama anente wrong. Wrong. You may carry on.
No, thanks, Honorable Chair. No, I want to join the queue for the colleagues that is welcoming this report. It's really rich in a sense to say that also support those that say it need to be programatized so that really we implement and also share with our provinces, because really the recommendations that the summit came up with, it's something that is really the concern, and it's affecting us, especially as women. So I think it needs to be taken to the sixth parliament and implemented, because even if we say that we leave it to the president, it won't go alone without somebody pushing it, like this particular committee, as the chair, we're always pushing things that are affecting us as women. I think, Chair, we need just to support it and refer it to the sixth parliament, push it to be programatized, and then make a follow-up on it, Chair. I propose that we accept this, and with the additions of the colleagues that have put on it. Thanks, Comrade Chair.
Okay. All right.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think on this matter, our role as parliamentarians is to oversight on the implementation of this resolution. I think the Committee on Women must monitor the implementation of this National Gender Summit resolution. Secondly, I think what has been raised by Comrade Mafu, Honorable Mafu, must be part of the legacy report for the sixth parliament. When reading the legacy report, they must know that there were these resolutions that they have to take forward to ensure that they are being implemented. I think also it will assist if this information can be cascaded to the provinces, for the women caucuses, for the GFPs, to make sure that these resolutions, again, they are being implemented. I think that is our role as parliament, to oversight the implementation of this, but not to implement, but to are oversighting the implementation of these resolutions. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, from what I hear is that everyone is really saying,
Chair, thank you very much. I want to appreciate the report, but also make an overrider and say the steering committee can still meet the presidency, the committee of justice, not the committee of justice, the Department of Justice, because they were the ones that were organizing the summit, and then highlight the issues that we think that they must implement before we complete our term, so that by the time the next committee comes, the sixth parliament, they're able to run with the issues. Maybe it is an oversight on our part, just to make a follow-up to say the 6 months lapses exactly on the month that we are supposed to go out, so that it does not lapse. Otherwise, they will march again to the presidency as if government is not addressing issues. But just to raise that omission, that they need to address the issues as soon as possible. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think that will be taken on board also. Yeah, Chairperson. Honorable members, you know, I think what Coleman was saying, I think it really concerns me also. We have got Chapter 9 institutions such as CGE and Human Rights Commission. But, you know, some of the things have escalated as we had been talking. I think Honorable Mafu knows. This was very rife, you know, early in the 2000s. The intimate femicide, it has come back again, you know. I think everything is just escalating. I had one thing, you know, in mind that maybe there are some things that we are overlooking, such as programs of the ECD, Early Childhood Development, where maybe these things could be taught in a way from early childhood, you know, because it begins there, honestly, the thing of gender disparities, and which leads in some instances to this violence, GBV. But having accepted what transpired, that there are issues that bogged some of us down. If we are trying to express ourselves, should we go to some extremes of being naked in front of men? And how some of the things really as women, I think we should talk about. Those were there, I don't know whether some of the president, why in a market in because I should have been there. we know sometimes I think we go to extremes. I don't know how we can talk about this. But the way we are trying to put emphasis on some of the things, maybe it's how we are frustrated we are as women. That makes us... But also the testimonies. The testimonies, Chairperson, you know, I've visited in number four several times, and you find that there are beautiful, educated women who have, because of the GBV, have come to, you know, the point where they killed their partners. And there are a lot of them there. And then we select one person, and we fight and make noise that person, but what about all the other people? I think the way we do things also, we should take care of what we are doing. You know, I made this a report in SADC of the summit. Some of the people have seen the video and said, what about that? No, I had to defend this thing. And there's such a lot, really. I think in our, maybe in the sixth parliament, or anyone, you know, and as we think about, we must open up discussion so that really we can be able to talk. Because you wouldn't dare say anything, La Payana, because Nama Plumas Lanebe Kona La Payana. And you must just listen to that. It was so difficult, yes. I think some of the things, now that we have a national gender machinery, that is the place where we can really express ourselves. But nevertheless, we are going to be, this must be recommendations, because now I'm just worried. Everything is just going up, Chairperson. The way people are being killed, the way this violence is happening in schools and everywhere. And it's as if we're doing nothing. And we've got such a very important structures that we've put in place. I think let's just open our eyes and minds. Okay. So are we adopting this? Hands? Okay, just give you a chance.
Master, but I just want to add to the point that you have raised of...
Yes.
Yes, the issue that you have raised of taking this to a preschool level, the empowerment of girls at that age, because there are things that cannot be legislated. I think we need to take it to our homes, where we socialize our girls. It has to start at home, because you cannot legislate that. It is something that we as women should do, because we are the ones who are nurturing these young women. So I think we need to take a responsibility as well as women to ensure that we socialize our girls in a manner that's going to empower them. I think the point that you are raising, that even at preschool level, you carry on with this empowerment of girls, I think it's a very important point, and it comes back to us as women. We are not expecting someone out there to do something for us, but we are going to do it ourselves, not an institution that is out there. I think it's very important that we do that as women.
We were, when we did this agenda, we were under the impression that we are going to get someone from the Department of Women in the presidency, because we know the minister has launched the National Gender Machinery. And we didn't succeed in this, but we have someone who has been attending all the meetings and even went to the lodge of this, and it can be no one else except to Joy, who's going to take us. I couldn't attend. I was invited, Chairperson. I couldn't go there. I wasn't well. I was in Joburg. And we have been howling and puffing and doing what to minister about this. At the end, she succeeded to launch this, because we think that is where we can talk with community leaders, traditional church, and everybody, so that we talk in one voice. So I think we are going to give Joy, maybe just to give us where we are with the major. Next time, we are going to make a recommendation that the president, the women's department, must come really and come to the multi-party and come in.
Yeah, I was saying, is it not better that we refer to the steering committee and get the minister to come and brief the steering committee, because there was a workshop and which culminated into the launching. So can we get them to and have an understanding how did they launch it? What is in the basket? Because so that we are able to see what how do we take this issue forward. For instance, there is a ministry of women which is not linked to the gender machinery, the department sort of, and in the workshop there were a lot of things around why do we link these structures and all those things. I'm just saying, can we get the formal report from the ministry herself and to say this is how the machinery is going to work, and see how we fit ourselves as a women's caucus and I don't know, Chair, because if we can just discuss it like we have attended when there is a resolution on it, it will not help us.
Yeah. You know, we had a concern about this national gender machinery thing, and I remember we invited the minister before this other invitation now, and she gave us reasons why she's not ready, and yes, if you remember, and we couldn't continue with that. We took it out of the agenda. And this is the second time now. And they couldn't come because of this engagement that they have. Now, we thought we could just give this, because we have someone who can give us the synopsis of this. And we could have invited the minister to the steering committee. Comrade Rosina, it's so difficult to get some of the people. You'll hear wonders, you know, if I tell you. Sometimes we're told that, no, we don't want to go to this structure. We want to start somewhere in the other structure and all this. So difficult. You know very well where. So this is, yes, how far we could go. That is the reason why I'm saying we are still going to pursue this matter. Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. So I'm going to be brief and take honourable members through some of our work in relation to the National Gender Machinery. If members will recall, we hosted the International Conference on Women and the World of Work in August 2017. And one of the resolutions of this conference was that the Multi-Party Women's Caucus should look at how to strengthen the National Gender Machinery. In a subsequent meeting of the Multi-Party Women's Caucus, it was decided that this work would be prioritized because the challenges facing the National Gender Machinery was at the heart of many of the problems that we were experiencing in trying to promote gender equity. So to just take members back to the establishment of the National Gender Machinery, it was located and set out in South Africa's National Policy Framework for Women's Empowerment and Gender Equality. And in terms of that, on page one have a little diagram of the structures. I'm not going to go through all of them, but importantly to just point out that there was meant to be structures in government, in parliament, there were independent bodies that were part of the NGM, as well as for the civil society organizations and structures to become a part of the National Gender Machinery. You will see that in terms of that structure, some of the structures like the Office on the Status of Women nationally and provisionally in the provinces were provided for. And the idea was that if we had all these different structures coming together in one place, that it was going to be comprehensive and we would be able to plan and review progress on gender equity at all levels in the executive, the legislature, the independent bodies and in civil society at large. The problem now is that the policy as it stands now is outdated and it needs reviewing because it has not taken into account the developments that have happened since the 1990s. So over the course of the discussions of the Multi-Party Women's Caucus on the National Gender Machinery, the caucus has noted several challenges that the machinery is currently facing. And it has also noted that these challenges have been quite significant and has put the work of the National Gender Machinery in some instances under threat. And so there's a very critical need to strengthen the work of the machinery. So I'm going to just from page two summarize some of those challenges. The first is, as I've mentioned, that the policy is outdated. It needs to be reworked. It talks about structures that are defunct, like the Office on the Status of Women. It does not provide for the role of the Department of Women. And as a result, the machinery is in a very difficult position as a collective structure because its mandate comes from a policy framework that is outdated. So the review of that policy is critical to create a contemporary, more responsive policy framework that deals with the current realities. Secondly, the status of the Commission for Gender Equality is unclear. Now, the Portfolio Committee on Women has done some work in this regard, but there had been discussions underway to potentially explore by Parliament the merging of the Commission for Gender Equality with the Human Rights Commission. This work is being held over to the 6th Parliament. Next is the issue of resources, which have constantly been identified as a critical issue, that the resources of the gender machinery is limited. One of the issues that the Commission for Gender Equality has pointed out is that their budget is less, their commissioners are paid less, for example, than the Human Rights Commission. Then when we look at the coordination of the National Gender Machinery, in the very early years when it was first set up, it was well coordinated. The machinery met very regularly to plan its work. But there have been challenges in coordination in recent years. And one of the key reasons, I think, is that the Office on the Status of Women used to play this coordinating role as provided for in the policy and is now defunct. Then a very real problem has been the status of the gender focal points in the government departments, which are very unclear. We don't have updated research on how many of these structures are functioning, what they're doing, and what their challenges are. So in 2003, the Joint Monitoring Committee on the Improvement of the Quality of Life and Status of Women did a very comprehensive review of the gender focal points, it sent out a questionnaire to all those focal points and asked them questions about what is your budget, where's your staff appointed, what programs are you doing. And at that time in 2003, the Joint Monitoring Committee found that the way in which these structures were set up went against the policy. They were appointed at a very junior level, not at a senior level. They were not involved in changing policy and advising on service delivery from a gender perspective. And they were under-resourced, didn't have a budget in most departments. And in fact, what many of them were doing because of these challenges was that they were, their work was centered around Women's Month, which was not what the policy had envisaged. It had envisaged that the focal points would play a role in looking at the impact on women in service delivery in the department as well as in policy. We had the Department of Women report to us in November last year, and they said to us that on page 4, some of the key challenges facing the gender focal points is that they don't have the skills to enable them to influence public policy and programming from a gender perspective, that they were not located at a senior authoritative level prescribed in the national gender policy, that they have limited support in the departments, and in some instances there was no budget or central point for the implementation of their work. So the Department of Women is currently in the process of reviewing the national gender machinery given the severeness of these challenges. And they started the review in September last year. It's meant to be completed by March this year. And if we go to page 5, there's an outline of the phases of this work. So phase 1 was they did in September 2018, a situational analysis and historical overview of the work of the machinery. Phase 2, which was October to November last year, they did data collection through questionnaires that they sent out to the heads of the machinery structures. Phase 3, which was in November and December last year, was to analyze the findings and to compile recommendations. Phase 4, which was January 2019, was to present the findings to the National Gender Machinery Structures. Phase 5, which is happening in this month, in February, is to look at the outcomes of the discussions and to incorporate them into a report, which is then going to be submitted into an expert advisory group. And then in phase 6, which was meant to also happen in February and to be completed in March, was to incorporate all the inputs of the expert advisory group into a final diagnostic review report. So we stand at the point where this work is almost being completed. It is critical work. And in wrapping up the work of the 5th Parliament, it is important that we think about how we hand this work over to the 6th Parliament. I think in the steering committee, there was also talk about how do we document some of the lessons of the structures in Parliament. So the multi-party women's caucus and the portfolio committee on women, what are some of the lessons that they've learned and the experiences shared for improving and taking forward into the 6th Parliament? I'm going to end there. Thank you, honourable members.
I think this information freshens the minds of other members. Now they know what we're talking about. Honorable Mafo.
Thanks, Chair. A very critical report. The body of work that you're reporting on, as Chair says, many members here know how far we come in terms of the national gender machinery, and some of the honourable members here know that they were very instrumental way back in 1995 in this board. So I'm saying that report that you have in front of you, I think the important thing is that we need to agree and accept that policy by its nature is not a static structure, it is dynamic. As population and society changes, you need to review it from time to time. And what the steering committee has done and the Office of Women, the Ministry of Women, is critical. But what we need to do, Chair, is that phase six, obviously, we're not going to be here to get the report because we are leaving in 2 weeks' time. But I think the important thing that we need to agree here and adopt is that the sixth parliament, when it comes, that report, when it gets reported to the structure that will be here, it must be done in a form of a summit or a workshop where it is not going to be a one-hour meeting or a two-hour meeting. It needs to be workshopped and discussed thoroughly so that members of parliament that will be here are able to monitor and do the work thoroughly around the issue of the national gender machinery. It's very critical. Simply because some of them are not working well now, it is because also as members of parliament, we are not doing the oversight well because we are not taking this work as serious as it should be. So I'm proposing that when sixth parliament starts, this committee, if it will still be this committee in the name, how we take over the phase six and the process from there, it must be done in a workshop form or a summit form where we are able to sit and discuss thoroughly and have resolution and way forward in terms of how we work as this parliament. Thank you very much.
Honorable Sminya. No, Chair, I'm covered by Honorable Maff because that's what I wanted to raise, that because we are the policy makers, by the way, we are the lawmakers. This is a process that one way or another we're supposed to be involved ourselves. So it will be important that as we get the sixth parliament should actually take the matter up, workshop the issue of the gender machinery, and look how we strengthen it, because the issue, the biggest challenge as come out of the report is how the gender machinery itself not coordinated properly, there is no coordination of the work of the machinery itself. So we need to have that workshop to look how we strengthen gender machinery and invite even those the other leg of the machinery itself. The second issue, Chair, would be that Joy has not talked about the how far is the forum that is dealing with the integration of the Chapter 9 institution, and how far are we, and what is the position of the multi-party, because it's important that this issue of gender commission not be incorporated into all other commission as they do that restructuring. The gender commission is still have a work. It should stand as a gender commission and it get capacitated as part of the machinery for it to do the work, because the patriarchy that we found in society is gender commission that's supposed to work around within the society around those issues. And if we allow it to be incorporated with others, we are going to miss it. So I'm just saying, as we close it, as we write this report, the issue of gender commission should not be left outside. The position of the multi-party should be elevated in the report. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Honorable Sminya, is there any other person? Honorable Cho.
Thank you very much, Chair. I wanted to raise the issue of us not continuing with what the previous term has done. You know, when we went into this term, we refused. And I'm saying we because it's all of us that we allowed the whole thing not to continue. In the Committee of Women, we refused to take wedge as an act that was done by the previous minister to continue implementing what was supposed to be implemented. Same applies to the gender machinery. I'm very skeptical that in the next six parliament, it's not going to be implemented. As long as women don't raise these issues in caucuses, you don't challenge ministers when they refuse to continue what was there previously. Because as members, there is nothing that you can do. You raise the issue with the minister, you raise it in the study group, they refuse to take that issue. Until there's a reshuffling, there's another minister who agrees to take up the issues again. I think we're sitting with that problem as women, that when women have moved forward, there comes another minister that reverses the gains of the previous efforts that were done by other members. So if we still continue the same way, we will still say the same thing. So it is important, even in the presidency, to understand the national gender machinery, that if we say that it has to be implemented in the sixth parliament, when we go to the NGC, we must talk about things that happen in government. Because when we go to the NGC, we do as if everything is good, you know. So those are the things that we must go and emphasize, because if we lock things in government only, we don't spread it outside. Even our branches, we must talk about these things, because it is frustrating that we say that we represent a women. When we come here, we don't represent women. You go to committee, let's say, whatever committee that is there, it doesn't talk about women's issues. As if women's issues only belongs to the women's committee. So even the gender focal points, other committees should have raised the gender focal points, because when we call different portfolio committees, they tell us that those gender focal points don't function in different committees. And the problem is us. We as members don't raise those issues. We only want to raise those issues when we come to a women's meeting. So in the next parliament, we're hoping that those that are coming back, you're going to raise the issues that we're raising now in your different portfolio committees, because it has to feature there. And if you do that, then even ministers are going to be challenged. And ministers must be challenged. Even when we go to NGCs, we must pick them up and say, minister, whoever is not doing what we want done in that particular committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Tso. You know, what you are saying is exactly what happened. That's how we lost the National Gender Machinery. When everything that was done by the status of women was just thrown out like that. And, you know, it's like throwing out Rudwana Namanzi, a buffy. You don't select the good things that you can continue with. That is exactly what happened. I think it's for us. You are quite right, as women, when we are in our national gender general councils, to emphasize on these things. I think you are very much right, because now we have gone back. I was talking with Joy the other day. We have gone back to what we should have done. We're going back now. We say we don't have a framework and we don't have this. But it was there, and people just ignored and threw it out. I think we are very, very much right. Honorable Sunukwanya.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think Honorable Shehu has actually covered me to a certain extent, but I wanted to just start by saying that I really agree that what we have now is totally outdated, because these are stories of the not recent past, but very long time ago. I've had firsthand experience of dealing with the issues of gender. I worked closely with the Gender Commission, for instance,
And it used to be one of the most vibrant Chapter 9 institutions. It did a lot of work, and it worked with government. And the issue of gender focal points, I agree. You know, at some stage I was heading the gender in the Department of Health before the before 2004, before I went to the legislature. At the legislature, I was chairing the gender committee. And these are the challenges that we had even by then, whereby departments would just not agree to do what they were supposed to do. They were resisting anything to do with gender. And I mean, MECs who are even female would not also. They just had this attitude of saying that we're adding work to them, because we were saying they must mainstream gender into their programs, because it didn't necessarily have to stand out alone as a program, but in their programs. Gender-friendly budgets and all those things, and they wouldn't do. And for some reason, in a very subtle manner, gradually the gender story went down and down up to the level at which it is now, because I personally can't even understand how it happened that after DREAM. You know, we had the Beijing Platform of Action, we had the Office of the Status of Women, we had this, and we were trying to fight for gender equality, but it has just collapsed to such a level. And I'm glad that you've got all these faces that, and that work has started, at least by Parliament, that perhaps we can be able to do. And I agree that all of us have a responsibility now to play a role, because if we don't do that, it's never going to happen, because there are people who are not interested in having it being moved forward. So I think I would want to end there, Chair. Thank you.
I think what Honorable Sumiya said, I think we should note that, so that whoever will be coming back, they should be focusing on this, and this document that, you know, the things that we have noted. Yeah, people can go back to them so that they are able to identify where the weaknesses were. I think it's a very good document of highlighting where the weaknesses were. And I think for now we are going to be, we do accept this, and we are going to be following up in the manner which the members have spoken to just now. And we have, okay, Malik.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sorry that I was late. I did send my apologies. I would want to ask to move for adoption of this document with the inclusion, as you know, on the conclusion or recommendation. We have another aspect there added as recommendation of the issues that are raised. The issue that was raised by Honorable Mafu is important, that this document must not just gather dust, but it should form part of a workshop and also part of the induction of the sixth parliament and also the first meeting of the women's caucus also must go back to this document, so that also when members are participating in their respective portfolio committees and select or standing committees, they bring up those issues and also are able to ask relevant questions in relation to the budget and everything that needs to be done, as I agree that it is us who must own this, and if we just leave it there, it will never move forward. So I want to move and issues that were raised by honorable members to be added as part of the recommendations. Thanks, Chair.
Document should be used for induction and maybe a broader meeting, a workshop sort of.
Is there any seconder?
Pet?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. We are now on the 6th item, which is closure, but I just wanted to say something before closure. This is not on the agenda. It is March, and many of you are knowledgeable that it is the time of the CSW in New York. And we had an invitation that was forwarded to us from the department. I don't want that this must be misinterpreted. And our intention was to get members of this committee to go to New York. I'm so sorry that Adizubuya and Abantu Bendifunekuye Abantu Aba participator, because we felt as the steering committee that, you know, these trips are not meant for steering committees only. People who are participating, they should be given an opportunity also to go to these things. Send Teti Doba Nabaza Uya by Pate Lord Mayor. Ungambu chairperson kuphela, who are the steering committee kuphela. Nabanye abantu bakwazuha. But we have forwarded names, Sigabanguti, chair of chairs, and unfortunately, Tinabe ANC, because there is no money, like parliament, akukomduza wahamba. Tetanam, ubufuna uthethe. Aye, keep us Tetanam. You want to talk to me? Okay.
Chair, I was just checking this thing you're saying Tinabe ANC, because this is a multi-party caucus.
Dizaguyo Lord Dikala Yemali Ngoba. Can you listen to me? Dikala Galenda Yemali Ngoba indaba yemali yala pe parliament. Kuthwe noba sesibhena sithi maybe you can give a chance kwabanye abantu abakwi opposition kwathwa imali nayo ayikho aphe parliament. Thina ke abe ANC niyayazi imeko yethu. Did you want to say something?
No, I wanted to say you have done very well to deal with this issue, because in the last meeting, honorable members, they've raised the problem as a challenge that seemingly the steering committee is not actually taking in cognizance members when they go out, when they are tricky. And we have indicated that you'll come back and raise it. And I think we should even emphasize that it's not us who are taking decisions on people who are supposed to go abroad. It's offices that are responsible, who brought on of Rolik. It's not our thing. Thanks.
Hi, Comrade Grace. Yes, I think the chairperson will know.
Chairperson,
I just want to help you that whether the ANC or Parliament has money or not, there's a decision that has been taken that all trips are cancelled. So no committee, no person is supposed to be travelling because it's campaign time. Thanks.
Chairperson, I'm sure Anika needs a and I'm trying to explain that the concern that was raised, we're taking it into account as a steering committee. And what has disappointed us now, it is the issue that we're talking about, labor's issue. God, we are saying those who will be coming back should also mention this, that as trips, Chairperson NCOP, they are not only meant for steering committees. It must land in people's brains. It must work. Because people think that abantu bafanele ukuba steering committee, which is not right. That's why we brought it here. Ngoba abantu bebe complain already. Thank you very much. Sivalile. Tseke, what do you want to say? Come here.
Yeah.